It's music from Randy Stonehill at 9 minutes past the hour. King of Hearts, the name of the song. Good morning to you. We're Broken Road Radio. It's a Monday morning, the beginning of a brand new day, brand new week, and pleased to have with us this morning Dr. Don Clark. Don is in Austin, Texas this morning. Don, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Jim, and good morning, Dave, and good morning, Heike.
Heike Dodge here from the Little Falls area. Heike, hello, and welcome to you. Heike, just for those of you who haven't heard Heike on the air with us before, she's a young lady, a mother, and a professional woman, and also a hobby. Hobby farm is not the right word, is it? Family farm, maybe?
A hobby farm is probably more accurate than family farm. That implies that I've got, you know, tractors that are big enough to plow a big field. I just have a little hobby farm.
Okay, well, she feeds her family, and she wrings the necks of chickens and steals their eggs, and all around just a tough lady. But it's the skills that I admire in you, Heike. I wish I could had a chance to do. I've often thought back on my life, and you know, I've never been on a farm. Even my wife has had time as a young girl on a farm down in Kentucky, and she has all these stories and warm, fuzzy memories about being with the grandparents on the farm and herding the mules around and doing. And I've done nothing like that. I'm so deprived.
Well, Jim, if you want some warm, fuzzy memories, you come down the next time I wring the neck of a chicken.
Yeah,
and we'll make some fuzzy memories for you.
Yeah, just hand me that manure shovel. Let me go to work. I know. It's a lot of work. But Heike
does it. When I need to clean out the chicken coop, that's when I am calling you.
Well, I'm just the guy to ask, too. It'll take an hour.
He should
away.
Have those memories, yes.
Oh, we're going to talk this morning about GE Foods, sort of. And Don and Heike and Dave and I have kind of discussed this on the air before. Genetically engineered or genetically modified organisms is another way you hear it, GMOs or GE. And it's a gene-altered food that's all around us. It's corn and soybeans and a lot of other products that invade us. And if you walk down the aisle of a supermarket, just about everything around you has got genetically modified stuff in it. And we've talked about that practice. We've talked about labeling. Folks may remember the California Prop 37 in November went down to resounding defeat, largely at the behest of companies like Monsanto, who poured money into the anti-labeling campaign. And the movement was simply to get it labeled so that you would know if you picked up a product that it had genetically modified ingredients in it. And for some reason, that labeling has been discouraged. And Heike and Don, the only reason I could think of is food companies simply don't want you to know. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. You know, the European Union actually banned GMO fruits and vegetables. And it's because years of studies have shown that, you know, the long-term effects are either unknown or they're negative. So if the European Union is banning them, I wish, you know, the United States would get on board.
Yeah, Don, how come we're different from the European Union? Do we have no respect for their science, for their research? Is there a gulf between us beside the Atlantic Ocean?
Well, there's certainly a competitiveness between between us, because when I was doing pharmaceutical research and trying to do some clinical studies in Europe, they wouldn't often take American studies. So, they're kind of doing their own thing, and we're kind of doing our own thing, even though they're trying to have this harmonization between Europe and the United States with regard to regulations.
Is it about money? Is it about money competition that way? Whose science gets sold, or is it ego?
Oh, well, yeah, I think in some instances it's ego. Because obviously both the Europeans and us, I mean, we can do good science. Now, unfortunately, in this area of genetic modification, the science has been limited. And so you don't get the long-term effects, because those are very expensive studies. And you know, from these products, at least from the manufacturers of these products.
Well, Heike, then in Europe, I guess they don't have a labeling issue if they've actually banned GMO foods.
I mean, that's my guess. I think that it's a brave decision for the EU to do that, and I think that the United States is a far cry away from that. But if we can at least get some forthrightness in labeling, at least the consumer then has the choice.
True. And Heike forwarded an article to me last night. It's over on the Huffington Post. And it's all about the Whole Foods market. And this may be the American way to deal with the problem around government. No government or propositions involved here. Nobody has to vote on anything here. A private company has just decided to do the labeling, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, money talks. When you talk about Monsanto, you think about power and money and lobbying power. And the American consumer is a whole lot bigger than that. If the American consumer would you know, stand up as a group and say, we will not accept, you know, hybrids or GMOs or anything like that, or we want truth in labeling, if the American consumer would stand up as a group and say we won't tolerate that, then Monsanto would have to be down and labeling would have to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that happen in other industries. As I mentioned before, my son has silly disease, and so I'm looking for gluten-free products all the time. And I noticed about 2 years ago, Walmart started putting gluten-free on many of their labels, even on things that you wouldn't even have to look for, like orange juice. They don't put others in orange juice. But Walmart started doing that, and I really appreciate that, because now more companies have followed suit, and that wasn't legislated. Walmart did that on its own.
Well, Don, what do you think? Can the private sector handle this problem, David?
Can the private sector handle this problem? I think a good example was in something in the same realm. There was a 60 Minutes story last night about a drug company that was authorized to make prescription medicine one dosage at a time for very specific patients, and they had to have a specific name and a specific prescription, and that particular kind of company was allowed to begin, and didn't carry the label FDA approved. Now, in the last 3 or 4 years, a number of these companies have exploded, and they're making up names. They're selling these things in batches, and there's a particular New England company that's now under criminal investigation because their medicines have become tainted with mold, and 48 people have died so far.
And this is a lack of regulation now, or just people ignoring regulations?
Okay, now the point of that great big long diatribe that I was getting to is that we rely on the government to keep us safe, and the government will never keep us safe. We have to keep us safe. And the FDA is falling down on the job, and that's something that we knew was going to happen to begin with. Now, the reason that those drug companies were allowed to do that had to do with a law that was passed in Congress. So some congressman somewhere got a donation and said, would you carry this bill? And he went to his pals in Congress, and everybody else says, well, I'll vote for your bill if you vote for my bill. And the bill gets passed and people die. We've got to stop relying on government to do these things for us. We have to rely on the private market. Walmart's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take it upon themselves. We have to. I was with people over the weekend who were in. We went to IHOP for breakfast, and we went to a couple of other places. And each time we went somewhere, we asked this friend of mine asked the waitress, "What do you have that's gluten free?" Now, one of the places IHOP did have stuff that was gluten free, and so they've gotten this request before. We have to ask more and more and more. And it's not just necessarily the people who have celiac that would benefit from gluten-free. I think I would benefit from gluten-free because bread gives me a little gassy feeling. So, I mean, that's if I don't eat wheat or gluten, that might do away with it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
You know, actually, there are a number of families that have discovered that children who have autism or on the autism spectrum that don't have celiac disease, and they've gone through the testing and ruled out that they do not have celiac disease. But if they go on a gluten-free diet, their autistic children have much much lesser symptoms. That doesn't cure them, but it makes symptoms more manageable, or in many cases, they can drop other medications because they go on a gluten-free diet. Nobody knows why, but gluten-free isn't just for celiacs.
All right. I don't mean to dominate the conversation, but I found a BBC story this morning that was wandering around getting ready for news, and there's a professor, Sally Davis, in England, who is very concerned about growing resistance to antibiotics, and all of these things get into our food system, and we develop resistance to it. And now we're finding that people are resistant to antibiotics, that they go in to have something treated and they can't because they've been given so many antibiotics through their chickens, through their beef, through their through other food systems. And this particular professor describes it as a ticking time bomb. And she said routine operations could become deadly in 20 years if we lose the ability to fight infection.
You know, David, that logic applies not just to medications, but it does apply to food too. We put corn fillers and wheat fillers in so many foods where it's unnecessary. And the amount of people out there now who have a corn sensitivity has exploded. Egg sensitivity, milk sensitivity, wheat sensitivity. There's one little guy, he's about 2 years old, at our church. I'm not really sure what he can eat aside from raw broccoli and an untainted hamburger. I think that's the only thing he's left to eat. He's allergic to everything else. And his parents didn't do anything wrong. I think we as a society over the last few generations have just filled our bodies with unnecessary fillers.
Well, Don, you've seen the pharmaceutical industry from the inside. Maybe there's three elements in this game. There's government, there's private industry, that is where money is at stake, and then there's the public, where health is at stake. Do we have a voice?
Oh, absolutely. I think we do. And I think the perfect example is, going into a grocery store, for example, and asking for certain products. The grocer wants to, supply us with the products that we desire. And if we tell them that we want GMO-free, products and know where the GMO-free section is in the grocery store, then we can shop there. I think this whole business with, the whole foods market is a very good example of this. They're responding to customer demands.
This is the company in our article on the Huffington Post. And by the way, when we post our conversation this morning in our audio archives, I'll give folks a link to this. But the Whole Foods Market is a company that on its own has decided to label. I don't know how much weight they swing in the whole market, but they provide organic foods to their customers. And they see this as a great benefit and help to organic food producers, Don.
Well, that's right. And they're, of course, they cater to people who are looking for a healthier alternative than what you find in your standard grocery store right at the moment. And so this plays quite along with their own marketing and their own positioning within the grocery segment. And so I think it's just like, the reason why advertisement in pharmaceutical, pharmaceutical advertisement these days, when I was doing clinical research, advertisement was to the public was considered really bad ethics. But now we have it all over the place. We have it not only on the radio, but television and newspapers. And so the consumer is told about all of these, pharmaceutical medicines that you can ask your doctor for. And so if we can ask our doctor for a specific medication, why can't we ask our grocer for, non-genetically modified products?
You know, as a consumer, I have had an impact on grocery stores and restaurants. I had the pleasure one day of wheeling my cart through the grocery store, and I was obviously reading a lot of labels, and a gentleman walked up to me and just asked me about my shopping experience. And he, you know, had a suit and tie on, so he looked a little out of place at the grocery store. Turned out he was the regional manager for the chain that I was shopping at. And I told him exactly what I was looking for. You know, I have a child with celiac disease, and I'm looking for more gluten-free products. And I told him specifically which products I was interested in, which ones were not good and that people wouldn't buy. And he was very grateful for my input. And I had a similar experience at a large restaurant chain when I was having a little bit of trouble with their service. And the manager came over, and we got to talking and, you know, started talking about gluten-free foods. And she said, you know, I'm going to our national conference next week. Can I take some notes about our conversation? And so, you know, she took my individual consumer opinion to a national level. You can have an impact.
Yeah, but now your photo's on the employee lounge bulletin board. You know that.
Here's, but if I tip well, I think it'll be okay.
Well, here's another notion in this then. As politicized as we are, as divided, you know, almost 50% versus 50%, and you could think of this just for convenience sake as liberal versus conservative. If the politicians jump on an issue like GMO labeling and politicize it, the American public is trained to take sides on political grounds, not on common sense grounds, or not on the grounds of health concerns and individual liberty. Could it be that the system has been poisoned that way? It's over politicized when we should be just talking to each other as people, not as liberals and conservatives.
As a side note, and far be it for me to digress from the topic. Heavens, I would never even suggest such a thing. But everybody's got their cameras off, so you can't see this book. But I'm reading the book called "The Argument: Billionaires, Bloggers, and the Battle to Remake Democratic Politics." It was written about the a group of people in 2004-05. After John Kerry was defeated in his run for president, and they were wandering around and saying, oh, woe is us. Democrats will never be in power again. It's too late. Oh, it's awful. Oh, it's terrible. What are we going to do? And as I'm reading, I'm hearing the same kinds of things now from Republicans. You could take sentences and paragraphs out of this book and change the name from Democrat to Republican, and you wouldn't change the meaning of the paragraph. It's an ongoing battle. I mean, it seems like the sides are changing more often, but it goes back and forth. Now, did I digress far enough that everybody forgot
a little bit
we're talking about?
Yeah. What was the question? I mean,
I mentioned that issues like GMO labeling get politicized, or organic foods get politicized. You know, that's a hippie liberal thing. Organic foods, you've got to have tattoos and earrings to grow that and buy it. I mean, we tend to make political divisions that aren't really there, and it's encouraged.
And I think you might be right in a sense, Jim. The Whole Foods market is a nationwide chain, and it is. I'm trying to think if it was a part of the old. I've forgotten the name of the supermarket that was down in the Twin Cities that had was one of the massive. Super One, I think it might have been. But anyway, Whole Foods is a national chain, and there are large, huge grocery stores that if you were inside, you would swear you were not in some mom and pop organization that has three or four rutabagas on the shelf. Mm-hmm. But aisles and carts and lights and bad music in the background and I mean the whole deal. I mean, it's just like another supermarket, and this supermarket, Whole Foods, is a nationwide chain in the United States and have stores in Canada, and they say they're going to label everything, whether or not it's got GMO stuff, by 2018.
So they handle the regular stuff too then?
Well, whatever regular stuff is. I mean, it should be just food.
I mean, from the mass distributors, I mean, it's the same thing you would go find at any other supermarket. It's there too.
Well, yeah, and I would think they would. You know, it doesn't say they won't carry this stuff. They're not going to. They will still continue to carry the stuff that's laced with high fructose corn syrup
because their customers want it, and maybe that's the key here. Again, just as Heike said, we need to speak up and tell people what we want. Tell the supermarket folks that this is what we consider healthy, and this is we would like you to stock this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think so.
And even this article points out that at least 82% of Americans, and another survey said 92% of us want genetically labeled products. So it's baffling to, you know, other than, you know, big money and big companies inhibiting, you know, this process because it might be bad for them. The public really wants this. So I think the takeaway message from today's program is, hey, folks, let's just start asking our grocers to point us to these type of products.
Yeah, but ask nicely.
Absolutely.
There's no need for rants because I think they're responsive. The people I've talked to who run retail operations are pretty responsive to the cut. They have to be.
I own two retail stores. I own two opticals, and I have responded to a demand for a particular style of product that is hot on the market right now. I personally don't want to wear it myself, but I have had 5 or 6 customers specifically ask me for this product, and so I sought it out because there's a demand. And at the end of the day, it's about money. And if people want, you know, GMO foods, then grocers will carry that. If people want organic foods, then grocers will carry that because it's what's going to sell.
You're not bringing back monocles, are you? I'm just guessing as to what this style might be. You know, just...
the cat eye look is
the cat eye look.
Yeah, the extreme cat eyes from the 50s. There have been.
Oh,
a
you
number
mean
of,
the shapes of glasses frames then?
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen those. Yeah.
I knew that 60s glasses framed were back, those big, heavy, black plastic ones I've seen all over the past few years. And I've got it. Here we go again.
Yep. It all comes back in the end. I always tell people that the pair of glasses you pick out, it's just part of a costume. I have glasses that represent the 60s. I have glasses that represent the 70s. I have glasses that represent the 90s. It's just whatever costume you want to put on that day.
Yeah, I knew I should have kept all those skinny ties that I used to have. Should have held on.
Yeah, they're coming back. They're going to come back.
Well, it boils down to speaking up and talking to the people where you buy stuff about what you think is healthy, what you think is dangerous, and just letting them know. Because if you don't say anything, the only guidance they're going to get is from the sales reps from the companies who want them to buy their product, regardless of health effects. So I guess that public sector needs to start standing up on its own 2 feet and saying what it believes and what it wants and make the rest. Because both politicos and business, the retail segment or the economy, is going to respond to what the consumer wants. And I think we're just too mealy-mouthed maybe about it and maybe too divided politically. Get that out of our heads and just start using some common sense out there. Well, there, I think we've cured that.
There you go.
We've solved that whole problem. We're talking with Dr. Don Clark. Don is a biochemist, a member of the board of CreationMoments.com, and we're delighted to welcome him just about every Monday. Heike Jo Dodge, a mother and professional lady and hobby farmer from Little Falls, Minnesota. And Heike, yep, you've been a delight this morning. Thanks for spending
Thank
time
you.
With us. And Dave, well, Dave's Dave. And
Dave, yeah, just I'm just
we're,
here.
We're glad you were here too. and the music continues.
I'm here to change the subject.
Yeah. And right now, Keith Cooper and his guitar will delight us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Good morning.